I'm so glad to be here today. I have the privilege and honor to preach the first Sunday this year. My name is Alex. I've been here in this church from the beginning with Daniel. And I'm glad that there are many new faces all the time. There's a lot of us now. We're so glad to be growing. I will preach today from a preaching series that Daniel started last week. Beginning of this year, and it is life with God through life with God through the Word of God, and I will preach this week about life with God through prayer, and then next week we'll hear about life with God in the church. So I want to open with a prayer. I pray that God will use me and that he will open our hearts to us. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege to be here today. Preach your word. I can do nothing, but you can do all things. You can communicate what you've put on my heart. You can speak through this sermon, this series, and you can transform hearts of those who listen to this. Form them by your will. We want to glorify you today. Glorify you through the sermon, through our songs of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Life with prayer through prayer, and the point of prayer is to grow in relationship with God, to know God. That should be our joy, to have our joy in him. Prayer. Of course, there are different ways to define prayer. What does it mean? Just simply, it is to have a conversation. The simple definition of a conversation with God is because all people know how to pray, even those who don't believe in God. It's built into our DNA. It's written in our hearts. Anyone who doesn't believe in God, I don't know if you noticed, it's been a little colder this week, which I said I wouldn't talk about the weather, but I am anyway. And you see atheists, they go out. For example, today I read that in Sundsvall it was -24, and he lives in the country. He's going to go somewhere, and if a man in -24 sits in the car and it doesn't start, he's going to start praying. And people who don't believe will pray. In their last moments of fear, they pray to God. I know people that they say, you know, people who don't believe in God, but then suddenly they say, oh, thank God I did this, or thank God this happened. But so prayer is a conversation with God, and I will go through a few points, a few questions about prayer to answer those questions. So first is, to who do we pray? Who is the God that we pray to? Why? There are many reasons, but why? When? When do we pray to God? And the last question, who does the Lord listen to? Which people does God listen to? So firstly, to who? To whom do we pray? To God, the only God, the Almighty God, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who also is our Father, if you're a Christian. I hope that you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, this year, 2024, this Sunday is the best day to start to come to faith, come to the Lord, pray for forgiveness for your sins, thank God for all that He's done through Christ, and turn to God. If you are a Christian, God is your Father. He has many attributes. Here's some of them. Firstly, God is almighty. He has all power. There is no country, no army, nothing in the world that can challenge God's power. He has all power. His highness, he is the most high. God is the most high, because he is infinitely exalted over even the highest being. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. Everything that has happened, everything that will happen. What is happening now, what I'm about to say, what you're thinking now. He has all knowledge, all understanding. Nothing is hidden for him. And his knowledge is perfect, and he makes no mistakes. We pray to our Lord and our Father. He knows everything. So he is everywhere. That is a property that only God has. He is everywhere, in every place, all at once. I grew up in a Catholic family, in a Catholic country and culture. In Catholicism, they have a lot of saints. And some of these saints, it seems they think they're able to answer prayer. So, San Antonio, Saint Anthony. His task. So people pray to him when they've lost something. I said, oh, I've lost something. They say, I'll pray to Saint Anthony. Well, I thought, um, So imagine St. Anthony goes to God and says, I'm sorry, all respect, but this task is too difficult. I can't look for keys all the time. I make this joke because only God can be everywhere, can hear your prayer, my prayer, everywhere, in every place. He is the one who is everywhere. God is unchangeable. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. We can trust in him. He is holy. He is the sum of all moral excellence. The sum of all moral excellence is in him. He is complete purity. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No sin, no evil thoughts. Perfect and pure in all that he does. And there are so many attributes of God we could talk about. He is faithful, he is patient, he is righteous. He's also gracious, merciful, loving. And he is good. This is who we pray to. This is he who is our God. Hallelujah. Also encourage you to read about God's attributes. I recommend you read Isaiah 40. Many of his attributes, and there the prophet Isaiah emphasizes his sovereignty, his power, his majesty. God as the creator and sustainer of the universe, and his infinite wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The chapter illustrates God's compassion, his care, and his faithfulness to his people, which guarantees comfort and strength to those who trust in him. Isaiah presents God as the Most High, the Eternal, exalted over everything else. He gives hope and encouragement to those who believe in him. Amen. That is the God who we pray to, who we trust in. Why? Primarily to have fellowship with him. To be with us. He transforms us. He fills us with joy. It's not something we should or must do, but is a privilege to stand before this God, the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, and to speak with him. Why would we not do that? He says, call to me. When my big brother became a Christian and I wasn't a Christian, and I wanted to wind him up, I said, why'd you pray? And he said, because God hears me. I said, can God hear you? And he said, yes, I can talk to God. And I said, what's his telephone number? And he said, "It's his telephone number is Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. He challenges us to call to him. Why would we not do that? We pray because we need him. And we want to know him. We want to come closer to him. We want to be full of joy in him. And we glorify him when we pray. We show that we need him, that we're dependent on him. Come closer to the Lord, and he will draw near to you, says the word. We can pray for wisdom. Now, the Bible also says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. It's James 1 verse 5. We pray for love. Pray for love to God, love to our neighbor, to our church, the body of Christ. We pray for the lost. We pray for love for the lost, because if we get that love, then that will lead us to evangelism. One of the things that will stop us from sharing the good news of God, evangelizing, that will be apathy. But if we have love through prayer, that apathy can be transformed to compassion. And that will help us to share God's good news. Something else that makes us not share the good news is anxiety, fear. Anxiety that we're responsible for someone's salvation, or we don't know how to speak. But when we pray to God, we pray for love for the lost. And that anxiety can be transformed into boldness in God's name. We can say, we can call them to repentance to God. We pray for forgiveness. We're sinners. And even though we pray for forgiveness, so in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we pray for strength to manage, because life is hard. How many times have you said or heard someone say, I am not able? We need strength to feel able to not give up in the face of challenges, difficulties. We need the power in his resurrection. As the apostle says, Paul says in Philippians 3, from verse 7 to 11, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Amen. We need that power. We need Christ, his power. And we pray because we're thankful. All that we are and that we have comes from him. And the Lord is glorified now when we pray to him. And we pray for both small and large things, especially for spiritual needs, for God's kingdom, that it be spread over all the earth. We pray for Christianity in the world, in our country, for missionaries, for church leaders, for those in power running our country. We pray also for physical and daily needs, great and small things, for job, for finances, for family, health, and even things that we can manage ourselves. We ask for help. When you cook food, when you work with your Excel sheet. We ask for help. Even finding your keys, you can ask for help. And we pray for each other. In Swedish they say förbön. To pray for people's spiritual life, for their well-being, for their salvation. What we want to emphasize today is that we pray. And this third question, when do we pray? When? We pray privately. When we're alone, or with your family in your home. Maybe you don't have your own space. Maybe you need to hide under your blanket and pray there. You don't have that private space. But we pray alone, pray in families. We can pray in groups, so in prayer groups, Bible study groups, with a few siblings who pray together. In larger groups, so like in the church, for example. In even larger groups, perhaps with other churches, with several churches together. Conferences. We pray with planned prayer. We might decide that we pray each morning and evening. Maybe three times a day, like the prophet Daniel. But also unplanned. Anywhere, whenever. And we should also be praying constantly. We pray. I assume most of you have jobs where you need to be concentrating on your work, but each time you take a little break, like you can send a little text message to God. Lord, help me. Lord, thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Help me with this. I pray for this person. The Lord will lead you in your heart how to pray. There's no perfect prayer. I'm just speaking to my Father. So constantly and whenever. And the fourth question, who does the Lord listen to? The Lord listens to those who pray. And who is it he listens to? He listens to those who fear him. He or she who is humble. Does he listen to he or she who is righteous? It's in 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." In Psalm 34, verse 16, that Peter is quoting, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry." In Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." So who is the righteous? If you were here last week, you'd hear Daniel's sermon from Psalm 1. Those who love God, and there are those who do not love God, who are the righteous. And the answer is he who is in the center. It is our Lord Jesus, the only one who is righteous, the only one who could live a perfect life to satisfy God's law, the only one who lived without sin and who has perfect love, the God who became a man and who died for us. Through his life and death, we who believe in him, we have been given his righteousness. There's a verse that Jesus used in my life. We often hear John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." This verse has to do with the righteousness, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And he says, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin." So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'll read it again. "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Amen. We take his righteousness. He's God who became a man. Jesus. He is the only way to God our Father. He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. He is our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16 says, since we then have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we can come near to God's throne thanks to our Lord Jesus and what he has done. We who by nature were God's enemies are in Jesus forgiven and adopted. Amen. And amen. Listen to what Jesus says. It was the text that Fernando read, John 15, verse 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen. We must abide in Christ, remain in him, with his love remaining in us, his word abiding in us. Then we will have what we pray for, because we'll always pray for the right things. And we will see our Father glorified when we bear much fruit. We must abide in him and in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. In my time in Christianity, I seek joy, and sometimes I've felt sad or depressed, and I'm thinking, why? And I don't mean that we don't have times like that. We all have that. We will face times like that. But sometimes we seek joy in the wrong things. And Jesus promises that if we remain in him, and his word remains in us, that we will have his joy. And that his joy may be complete. So I'll finish by saying, what do we do with this? We've said that to pray is to converse with God. And who God is. And some of his attributes. I challenge you to study them all. And we've said why we pray to God, many reasons, and there are many more. We've said also when we can pray and where. And also who God listens to. So we have this year ahead of us, 2024. Let us come closer to God this year. Let us grow in prayer as individuals, as a church. It's not easy to pray. Many times we don't know where we should start. I read a book called To Pray God's Word. Now, you don't need to read it because it is just what it says. It's just to take a psalm or something, Psalm 23, and just read verse by verse. And God will open your heart to thank him, to pray, to find a similar situation in your life. So let us learn from one another and from the Bible how we should pray. Let us prioritize. And if there isn't time, then get up earlier. There is time. Let us become a church that prays. Make a big difference. We can plan many things. We can make PowerPoints. We can do a lot. But if we don't pray, then all these things may be good things to do. But they will be blessed if we seek God in prayer. And he will lead us and help us in our church. So let us be a church that seeks God. Fellowship with God and love and joy in him. Don't forget that, the joy. It's not a burden to pray. He says, come to me. Let your burdens be there. I'll give you rest. Love and joy through prayer. And also we must witness. Many times we pray together. And we don't know what happens with those prayers. We do it as a sort of formality. We need to hear each other's testimonies of what God is doing in our lives when we pray for things. We need to hear that God is answering them, and we can thank God together. We can rejoice that God is answering prayer. What's the point of praying or not often hearing what the Lord is doing? So let us pray together. And we will stand and pray together before we respond in prayer and praise. And let us stand and pray. As Fernanda said, prayers of thanksgiving. If you know good Swedish or not, that's fine. Pray in Spanish or English or your language. Let us rejoice before him. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, your word that encourages us to pray. Thank you for your promises. You are the Most High over all the earth. You are the creator of the universe. You sustain your creation. We can come to you whenever with our burdens. You never get tired. We can speak to you in prayer. We come to you, we want to thank you and praise you, praise your name, Jesus. Thank you for your righteousness that you give us through what you did on the cross. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us from all our sin. Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that you pray for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you mediate for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us in prayer. Thank you that you mediate for us with God. Thank you that you know our hearts, what we should pray for and who we should pray for and how we should pray. Thank you that when we have no words, that we can be silent and you pray for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray and we thank you. We give you all the glory. All praise and all worship. Amen.